written, I will rise to the top. Now I give it everything that I got. Yeah, I'm gon' ball, yeah, I'm gon' be prepared for them suckers that be hating on me. Raised in the world that's so cold. Why so much hate, I don't know. Stereotyped and they can't see how it is growing up as a young G.
And that is a great song to lead into the Tony Sands Show. I'm Tony Sands. You're here today with me and Mr. Bibbs out of Dallas, Texas. We're going to talk sports, most sports, and most sports. And if you heard that song, the one thing it said, stereotypes. Why are so many athletes, and as I would say, so many black athletes in this day and age are being stereotyped? And what I mean, guys, we're going to talk about the Geno Smith situation. If you haven't heard, there were certain comments that was made about the black quarterback, Geno Smith. We're going to get into that topic. We're going to talk a little more free agency. We're going to talk about Carson Palmer going to Arizona Cardinals and who the Oakland Raiders decides to bring in after they depart with Carson Palmer. We're going to talk Cowboys. And we have a lot of Cowboy fans out there talking, was it a good move or a bad move to sign Tony Romo to that kind of money that he was given? We're also going to talk some Miami Heat. Here in South Florida, I'm going to tell you, South Florida has some of the funniest fans in the country. I don't call them fans. I call them bandwagon jumpers because they only roll when the Heat is winning. They only roll when the Heat is winning, Bibbs. Bibbs, I'm going to tell you, South Florida has a special type of fan. I don't call them fans.
Really?
It's not like any other place in the country. Not like any other place in the country because they only ride with you when you're winning. Right now, you don't hear nothing about the Miami Dolphins. Everything is all Miami Heat. All Miami Heat. What do you call a fan that only ride with you, Bibbs, when you are hot? What kind of fan you classify that as?
I classify it as exactly what you just said, bandwagoners. Like,
and that's amazing.
That's terrible, Tony. Like, are you really serious that they only really ride with their team unless they win it?
That's it. You got to figure. I'm gonna tell you something. They wanted to hang the Miami Heat organization when this big three first came together, and they wasn't gelling. And it wasn't no gel. It was no mix. Was it the right move to bring LeBron James from Cleveland to the Miami Heat? He can't mix with Dwayne Wade. Was Bosh the right big guy to bring in? They probably need to look at bringing another big guy in to play instead of Bosh.
And I remember, and I actually do remember that. They had a lot of criticism going on about, you know, bringing LeBron in and what he you know, mess with Dwayne Wade and was Chris Bosh physical enough to play down in the post. But I always thought they would be good. Anytime you got three players of that caliber of basketball players, then, man, come on now.
And
LeBron James?
It goes back to, like I said, the Miami fans, they can't understand that it takes time for that type of chemistry to gel. And they gelled at the latter part of the season when they needed to gel. They got hot at the latter part of the season when they needed to get hot. But Miami fans never understand that must take place in order to have a successful team. And that's why the Miami Heat are doing what they're doing this year. But I have also wondered, and it happens a lot, have the Miami Heat peaked too early? And that's the one side about you winning so many games early. And I guess that's why they decided to sit their top guys besides Bosh, because I feel Bosh, out of all the people that the Miami Heat have, I feel Bosh is the one guy that needs more time to play. Out of LeBron and out of D-Wade, because, you know, they call this Wade County down here in Miami, because I think they was trying to wonder would LeBron come and overshadow D-Wade, which LeBron is the best guy in basketball, so of course he's going to overshadow him. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, most definitely. Yeah, anytime you got a star player like that, and with the skill set that LeBron James has coming straight out of high school, he's going to overshadow just about any player in the NBA besides Kobe Bryant because of his what he's done in his past, in his recent years in the NBA. But LeBron is the man. Like, yeah, it's called Wade County, but I don't think that the Miami Heat would be where they're at right now without the, you know, the skill set and the game, the MVP type game that LeBron James brings to the Miami Heat organization.
Go ahead. Finish up.
No, I'm gonna finish. It would happen though, Tony. They would not be the same.
And now I'm gonna tell you. You know, it's been another hot topic on Sports Talk Radio today as I listen to a lot of my friend guys, my colleagues that's in the radio industry and media was talking about being that the Lakers retired Shaq Jersey. They retired Shaq Jersey. They were saying with the Miami Heat, men fences and say, hey, we also need to retire Shaq's jersey because you got to understand now they had Dwayne Wade,
right,
but they still wasn't meeting the expectations of their bandwagon fans because I'm not going to call them fans because it takes me back to when this organization first came about and I had a heated conversation with a guy about this same topic. I said when the Miami Heat first came about, how many fans here in South Florida were truly Miami Heat fans? How many? I would love to know how many. It wasn't that many because I was living in South Florida. Everybody at that time were Chicago Bulls. You were Chicago Bulls fans. You was not Miami Heat fans. And that's why a true fan ride with you from the beginning to the end. They don't switch teams. And that's what they got to get, you know, you got to get the idea. Either I am a Miami Heat fan or I am a Dwayne Wade or I am a LeBron James or I am a Chris Bosh fan. If you say that to me, I respect you more than to say I am a Miami Heat fan. And you know, come 2 years ago, you are not a Miami Heat fan. You only joined the Miami Heat when the Miami Heat started winning championships. And if you look in your heart, I guarantee you people that are listening, they will tell you that same thing. They were not Miami Heat fans because I don't know that many. I knew one person that what I would consider a truly, truly Miami Heat fan. I'm going to tell you, and that was my mother-in-law.
Okay.
Man, when the Heat wasn't winning, she was screaming and hollering, come on, you know, I love y'all. Y'all got to win. You got to win. And I'm like, huh? That's what you call a true fan, watching the game after game, even though you knew that they was not going to win at that point in time, but you backed the team. These fans that they have now, Bibbs, is unbelievable. Unbelievable. They only ride with the Heat when they win it.
And that sucks, though. You know, like, I would have never thought that about, you know, the Miami fan base down there. They've had winning teams in the past. Of course, the Miami Dolphins haven't won much of anything in recent years. But, you know, what year was it? Was it 2004 that the Heat won a championship against the Mavericks? You know, I would think they had fans, you know, and they always been not necessarily a championship contender, but they've always been, you know, a playoff-type contender. They made it to the playoffs. Even back when, you know, Alonzo Mourning was playing, Tim Hardaway, you know, they were playing for the Heat. So I thought they had a strong fan base. But I'm hearing that differently now. You know, from what we see on TV in Texas, we see that maybe that the stands are always rocking in Miami, even back then, you know. And so I'm thinking that the Miami fans were, you know, diehard almost.
No,
I guess not, though, right?
You got to figure back then, the Miami Heat were giving away tickets for people to come to the games.
Yeah, I didn't know that.
They were giving away. You could get tickets at Burger King, man. They were giving them away at Burger King. They were giving them away at Burger King, Subway, just to fill the stadium, to fill the arena. That was it. Now you can't even find a ticket nowhere.
Right. This ticket right now.
You can't even find it.
They're out the roof for a ticket. What? You know?
You people sit outside the arena just to sit there to say that they in the, as we would call street terms, in the building. But they're not in the building. They're on the sidewalk. They're on the sidewalk of the arena, but they would say, hey, I'm in the building. I got on my LeBron James jersey, and I'm in the building. That's it. And, but,
and you know what, Tony? I could kind of attest to that as far as the Dallas Mavericks also. You know, throughout the 90s and the 80s, the Dallas Mavericks were terrible. They probably was the worst team in basketball. And they didn't start winning and making the playoffs about 2000-2001 season, kind of like Dirk Nowitzki's second and third year in the league.
Correct.
And then all of a sudden you had millions and millions of Dallas Mavericks fans. And I first moved down here to Dallas, I was like, man, I ain't no way in hell that all y'all Dallas Mavericks fans, because I remember when the Mavericks used to suck.
Exactly.
And they were
exactly.
First team in basketball, and now all of a sudden you have all these fans in the stadium. Dallas has always been a football city. And then all of a sudden, the Mavericks started winning, and you had all these bandwagoners, like you call them, jumped on the Dallas Mavericks bandwagon. I've never been a Mavericks fan, but I did notice that. And it's kind of similar to what y'all going through in Miami. So I want to say that.
Of course. There, like I said, I see a lot of fans down here. And I told the guy that we had the conversation with, I told him, I say, if I'm not mistaken, I used to watch you wear Michael Jordan gear. Was you a Chicago fan? Because I heard you, I know you used to root for the Chicago Bulls when they were winning their championship. Now, all of a sudden, I don't hear you talking about Chicago Bulls. I hear you talking about Miami Heat. Now,
that's a bandwagon, Tony. That's a bandwagon.
That's what I say. You know, and out here in South Florida, they expect you to root for the home team because you live in the home area. No, but that's not the way it goes. That's not the way fans are produced or made. You are a fan because you love the team, period. Point blank, period, the way it is. But I'm going to tell you, B, I got a young fella. This fella is 12 years old. This fella is 12 years old, man, and I know he is a true Miami Heat fan. He is a true Miami Heat fan. I want people, we're going to listen to this song, then we're going to go to a quick, about a minute commercial break. We're going to play the song for about 2 minutes, folks, because I want y'all to hear this young fella do his thing. Miami Heat fans that are out there, I'm not a Miami Heat fan, but this young fella is representing the 305 Miami Heat, LeBron James, D. Wade, Chris Bosh. He is doing his thing. I'm going to let you listen to him. And this song is going to take over South Florida. It will be the new national anthem for the Miami Heat. Let me let you listen to Lil Tony as he do his thing. My producer is getting it ready. Engineers ready to let that Miami. Oh.
Miami. Lil Tony.
A big tray.
Oh, no.
There is no competition. I put that on everything.
Huh?
It's in our game like EAUD, North Cole, and Batty.
Oh,
Rio, the Birdman. Gotta come to South Beach if you want that rain.
Right.
I talk cheap. We the beast in the East. We on the spree. They don't know about the heat. Y'all foul out. We ball out like champions. Don't have to go see. We show up and show up. Opponents get blown up at your home. Game over. Play lights out.
Talking repeat, MIA, you know we can't be beat.
Miami.
We got the big three, they don't know what.
If you have a need for speed, or do you simply just want to lose weight, or get the best training to help you develop your skills, whether it's football or any other sport, just to name a few different skills you can learn, like agility, balance, coordination, assistance, and resistance. In order to be the best, you got to get trained by the best. Tony Sands at GetSensational.com. For more information, call 954-691-7804. Once again, 954-691-7804. Call now.
I will rise to the top. Now I give it everything that I got. Yeah, I'm gon' ball. Yeah, I'm gon' be prepared for them suckers that be hating on me.
Praise in the world that's so cold. Why so much hate? I don't know. Stereotyped and they can't see how it is growing up as a young G.
Now I'm gonna tell you, we back. Oh man, I'm gonna tell you. Bills, tell me what you think about that song, man. Tell me what you think about that young fella.
I think little dude got a little talent on him. You know, how old is he again? He's 12?
12 years old, man. 12 years old.
Yeah, he got a little heat behind that, literally. You know, he got a little ways to go. You know, he's young. He's starting at a young age, so I definitely think he could get a lot better. You know, I'm not sure if he wrote the song himself. Did he write it himself?
Well, you know, his dad is a music producer also here in South Florida.
Okay,
so
okay.
His dad put the track down, and they went in the studio, and they went and got it, man. But it's amazing how artistic young kids are, and that's why I called Wednesday. Shout out to your young kid, Wednesday. If there's any talent that you have that your young kid is possessed, whether it be academics, athletics, or any artistic field that they have, you can call the Tony Sands Show here and shout out your child's success. You can call us here 888-429-5471. That's in the U.S. or Canada. You can call us at 530-413-9537. That's line one. And you can call us at 530-763-1594, that's line two or three. Line four, baby, we got all the lines because we want you to call in here to the Tony Sands Show and give us your opinion about any topic that we talk about. Line four, 530-746-0341 here on the Tony Sands Show. And as I told you, let's get back to talking a little heat, and we're going to switch gears, and I want to get into some more basketball because we got the hottest topic going today. But like I said, I can't say that I like the Heat. I like what the Heat is doing, and I like the moves that they are making because they're making some heck of a moves here in trying to secure another championship for the Miami Heat. I only wonder if they peak too early and it cost them the championship, and then you're going to really see so many Heat fans going crazy and going just nuts here in South Florida because they're going to be wondering if we had not won, went on that streak, we would not have had that success and loss when it counted. But let's get into now. New topic, hot off the press video show. Mike Rice abusing players. Pills, what you think about that?
Oh, Tony. I was at work today, and I got a little break from the desk, and I got an opportunity to get on ESPN and, you know, look at the story and watch the videos. Me personally, I didn't know coaches even coached that style ever. I played sports my whole entire life, and I've never in my life came across a coach that was that disrespectful and that belligerent and, you know, just unprofessional as Mr. Mike, what is his name? Mike Rice was. Like,
Rice.
The language that he used towards his players and the, you know, the gay slurs and, you know, the racial slurs he used towards the one Lithuanian player he had, that's totally unacceptable, Tony. Like, totally. And I don't think he should ever get a basketball coaching job again in NCAA until he completes every anger management course, psychological eval that he has to do to get back into. I'm almost lost for words. That was so unacceptable and so despicable. You know, I almost want to fight the guy, you know, Tony, because I just don't feel like you should treat people like that. You know,
and that's what LeBron James said. Also, he felt like he wanted to punch Mike Rice in the face. Now we're talking about, here on the Tony Sands Show, we're talking about Mike Rice, the Rutgers basketball coach that was just fired once the video was released on Outside the Lines of him abusing his players. And when I say abusing them, I looked at the video, and when I first took a glance at it, I did not think. I said, oh, well, that's coaching. In my terms, I said, that's coaching. I said, you know, I know in football, that goes on, and it goes on a lot and still goes on to this day, because a lot of coaches that are having successful teams are old style coaches that came up under that type of regime. So that's what is expected of them at that time. But I also stated, when I looked at it again, and I looked at it in full detail, and I said, wait a minute, hold on. I'm watching basketballs get thrown at people's feet. I'm watching basketballs get slung at people's head. And I say to myself, two things comes out of this. Either this guy is tired of losing, and these players are being nonchalant in practice, and he's saying, hey, this is the only way I got to get these guys motivated. Or I'm saying, this guy had a lot on his mind in this practice. And I tell people every day, this is what the increase in salaries, to me, have done to coaches. It have created monsters. And what I say by that, the pressure to win at Division I schools are unbelievable, because these guys' livelihoods are on the line. What I mean by on the line, they're on the line with 18, 19, 20-year-old kids that may say, hey, I don't want to practice today. Or, we're going to get this coach fired. We're going to get this coach fired, and this is how we're going to do it. Because if they do not play for this guy eventually loses his job. And this video was released by Murdoch, who he brought in as a player development guy. He brought this guy in as a player development guy. But my thing is, this was some years ago. Why now do you bring this video out? And Mike Rice, how do you as a coach let this type of video get out of your hands? How was you not, you were so zoned out that you could not understand the violence that you was creating, the atmosphere that was going on that day, that you forgot that this whole practice was being filmed? You understand what I'm saying, Bibbs? How give me your opinion on how do you let a video like this get out?
Well, I don't know, Tony. Like, I don't. Maybe somebody might have been filming from the, you know, the stands. I'm not sure what type of video it was that they actually sent out. It looked pretty good to me. Like it might have been a, you know, an actual video video guy that worked for the team that recorded this.
Yeah, and, it was recorded by their video people.
Okay, and the situations that you have within, you know, I've seen situations where videos have come out before, and you're like, well, how did you let this video come out? And the people that are getting accused or that are getting, you know, criticized by the media, they have no idea that this video was going to come out. You know, I honestly don't even know if he knew he was on video, or maybe he just didn't think that what he was doing was wrong. So he never even thought about the video coming out. That might be my answer. He didn't think what he was doing was wrong, so he never thought about the video ever being, you know, put out on ESPN or every, you know, media network that's out here today in today's age to see what type of terrible coach he was as far as discipline his players. You know, like, I'm disgusted, Tony. I don't see no excuse for that. You know, and I played football, you know, all the way up to college, and I didn't have any coaches. And they yelled and screamed at me, but I never was called any, you know, derogatory names, or I was never called any gay slurs, you know. So I don't see an excuse for it, you know.
And my thing is, you belittled the one player to where they started calling him, and I'm quite sure, and I know how this thing go because I played football for years all the way through, and I understand when a coach starts riding you as a player, sooner or later, your fellow peers start calling you what that coach call you, and they just joking, not even knowing and understanding, but they're joking, and they're calling you what the coach is calling you. And this coach called his guys, and there's some words that I don't even want to call out because they was just that derogatory in the way that he was belittling his players. And how do you, and my thing is, now these guys are, people might say, well, why didn't these guys go and tell? This is what happens in the world of college football. This is what happens. First of all, your college scholarship is being paid for by this university. What I mean by that, this is where your money is coming from. And it's an atmosphere of hush hush that so many guys are scared to even say anything because they fear retaliation, that they will lose their scholarship. And people must understand, scholarships are only year to year. The days of 4-year scholarships are gone. And you got to, and these people got to renew your deal. They have to renew your deal. Your deal is not 4 years, and once you sign, it's a 4-year deal. You can't buy it out. At any point in time, they can get out of the deal. They can say, okay, you're not needed. And there were several players that left this team and went on to other teams. And you wonder, at what point did the administration stop and say, there's too many players leaving our organization? We got to look and see why this is taking place. Why are we having so many players leave our organization to go elsewhere? Because of the atmosphere that you have put these young men in. And I know, because I know guys, I had a tough coach. I'm going to tell you, when I played football, I had a tough guy, Bibbs, that did not play the radio. And did I see different treatment? Yeah, I seen it. I don't know if I could have stood for a lot of the treatment that was going on with these guys, because I came out of South Florida, the mean streets of South Florida, and I believed that I was going to speak my mind regardless. I was going to speak my mind. You weren't going to treat me any kind of way. I don't care what. Because I believed in my skills. You understand what I'm saying, Bills? I believe in my skills. Okay, if you don't give me a scholarship here, I'm going elsewhere. And that's why you're starting to see this cross the board. And you know, this dated back when Mike Leach got released, when my guy from Kansas got released, when the guy from South Florida got released. It's becoming more of a trend. And not only that, then you look at the situation at Penn State, which is a whole nother situation. You're starting to see a lot more of it. Is it because we're in a day and age that kids can't take being talked to any kind of way? But like I say, I can see when you talk to kids, hey, man, get your butt together. But then at some point, you need to build this young man back up, because you have took him to a low. And if you don't build him back up, this kid continues to stay at a low. Now, these kids are away from their parents. They're away from everybody. You went in these people's homes and promised these parents that you would take care of their young men. And this is the way that they're being treated. it's hard for me to take when you say that. You understand what I'm saying?
Right. No, Tony, hold on 1 second. Now, I understand now being a tough coach and, you know, get your butt in line, do what you got to do, you know. Correct. But, you know, throwing the basketballs at the kids, you know, pushing them down on the ground, shoving them, grabbing on them, yanking on them. Like, I just don't see that. I don't see that's not a necessity when it comes to coaching. Now, you can grab a kid by the jersey and be like, hey, you need to do this, you need to do that. But like, he was throwing balls at kids' heads and you know, just point-blank range, like not far, like right there. And hitting them with, you know, the body pads and stuff. Like, I just don't really see his reasoning for doing that type of stuff. I honestly think that the guy has some type of anger issues. You know,
he had something going on. I'm gonna tell you that now. That guy had something going on in that practice. Whether I don't know if he's married or not, the old lady done pissed him off or something. He done lost, and people antagonizing him on campus because, you know, Rutgers basketball and Rutgers football has always been, you know, suspect.
Yeah, exactly. I can't tell you the last time I've seen Rutgers in an NCAA tournament. So, you know, exactly. And they playing the Big East. They play in the Big East. That's the best, like one of the best basketball conferences in college basketball. So of course we're not seeing Rutgers win too many games. And maybe he's trying to rebuild the program and make it to a respectable, you know, as far as the NCAA basketball is concerned. But I don't see you making it respectable like this. You just lost more respect. You know.
I think he got his words mixed up. When you say physical aggression and physical abuse. He got those two words mixed up, and I think he felt it all meshed together. And when I saw him kick a kid, hit a kid with the pad, that's what made me look at it again. When I saw him push the kid out of the way and post up, okay, I said to myself, maybe he's showing this guy how to post guys up. But then I thought I saw one of the kids laying down up under the goal and looked like basketball. The kids were shooting basketballs, and they was almost landing by this kid's head. Then I see him go after one kid that was just standing there, looked like he's waiting to get his opportunity to go in to practice. And I saw him shove this kid. I'm like, wait a minute, hold on. I'm hoping all this is videos spiced together, not one practice. Because if that was one practice, man, when I left that practice, it'll make me wonder, was my coach drunk or did he just lose it? Did he just lose it completely? And I thought, Coach, at that point, that, like you said, need anger management, and they need to take a deep look and look at a lot of coaches, because this is not an isolated incident by far, people. It is not an isolated incident. This go on throughout college sports, whether it be physical or verbal. All abuse is the same. Physical abuse, mental abuse, it's all the same. And there's more kids being mentally abused so bad that they can't recover in life. And I guarantee if you look at the statistics, and you can really look and see how many kids really commit suicide during the process after they leave college sports because of either the physical abuse or the mental abuse that they endure. You endure a lot of mental abuse. People don't understand. And that's why when people say it's a free education, it's not, man. They don't understand what goes behind being a student athlete in this day and age of college sports. When you do that, like I said, I looked at, he risked it. He risked a lot because he risked injuring some of his players. So they can't even perform for you. I wouldn't want to perform for this guy on any given day of the week that we got to play, because this is what you're, if I win for you, it makes you look good. Now you get a mixed perception that if you abuse us in practice and we win, that's how you got to treat us. And I wouldn't want to give him that ideal at all. I think with me and my instance, I would have went ahead and told the administration whether they did some or not. Then I would, if they didn't, then I would have figured out how to get it leaked to the media. Because I think what happened was, even when Murdoch met with some of the kids thought it was a way of coaching. But I think they were more scared of the retaliation than it was a way of coaching. this guy can retaliate on us. He can have us, our scholarship yanked. And a lot of parents can't understand that when they're so far away from these kids, that this is what goes on. This, and that's why they keep a lot of these practices closed, because a lot of this stuff can't get out. How this got out? Wow. I looked at all the incidents over the last couple of years of coaches abusing players, and I saying to myself, how did this information get leaked? It's unbelievable. That means your ship is not tight. That means there's cracks in the foundation, and that sooner or later, you're going to get called on the carpet. And this guy, you got to figure out, he was already suspended one time before and fined $50,000. He missed three games because of the same type of thing, suspect allegations that was put on him of the abuse. At some point, people, this kind of behavior must stop, and it's got to stop.
And with that saying, I feel like, you know, that the administration should be held accountable for some of these actions, because if this guy has been suspended before previously, three times, three games before, you know, for some of the same things, I guess it's what happened recently, happened in the past.
Correct.
Why hasn't the administration looked into this carefully before? You know, before that, before, why hadn't they looked into it before it actually leaked to the press, you know what I'm saying, to the media, so they can save their own, you know, university's integrity and their name, Rutgers basketball, football, athletics in general. Now, you know, for forever, you're going to think about Rutgers and that coach that was basically abusing his players.
Exactly.
You know,
exactly.
I don't see why the administration hadn't, you know, dipped into this situation earlier or previously.
Correct,
you know,
correct.
If he's been fired before, suspended before.
And I'm going to let you listen to the sound beat that Outside the Lines released today. Outside the Lines released this video today. And these are some of the things that were being said during the course of this practice. You got to listen close in on this. People that are listening, young kids that are listening, pay close attention.
This is the video that's gone viral in the last 24 hours. Rutgers head basketball coach Mike Rice firing balls at his players in practice. And engaging in what some would consider physical abuse. When Rutgers officials saw video examples like this last December, they suspended Rice for three games and fined him $50,000. When you heard what the punishment was, what was your reaction?
Are you kidding me?
Eric Murdoch was a first-round draft pick and played 9 seasons in the NBA. He was hired by Rice, whom he'd never met, in June 2010 to be Rutgers' director of player development.
I mean, to witness that video and to see your coach physically putting his hands on players, physically kicking players. Yeah, I was like in total shock that this guy wasn't fired immediately on the spot.
When and how did you become aware of his coaching style?
Once he got the job, there was a camp. And, you know, a bunch of 10-year-olds, 11-year-old, 12-year-old kids, and, you know, three kids, they come in walking to the camp late. So now he feels he has a need to embarrass these kids in front of other campers. And then he noticed that they have on flip-flops. And so he looks down, you know, he says, flip-flops are for f***s. Flip-flops are for f***s. I mean, in front of, you know, 10-year-old kids.
Murdoch says Rice frequently used that same homophobic slur in practices.
I mean, it was, you know, negative, negative, negative.
Now, you heard some of the comments that were made during the course of that practice. Bibbs, when you call young 10, 11, 12-year-olds, because of their wearing flip-flops, you call them faggots. Those are some of the words that were used, man. Those are some powerful words when you're talking about young kids, young impressionable minds, parents sending their kids off to these camps and really not understanding what is going on behind the scenes. And I wonder how those young men felt after being embarrassed in front of the rest of their peers that they came to this camp to enjoy, to learn, to be taught. And that's what we send our kids to camps to be learned, to be taught, to be educated on their craft. You as a parent, B, what would go through your mind if you knew that this type of abuse was taking place in a camp that you sent your young child to?
I would be utterly disgusted by the, you know, the terms that he used, you know, towards my children. You know, I don't feel like if I don't use that type of language towards my children, I definitely wouldn't allow anybody else to, you know, to use those type of that type of language towards my children. And, you know, for them to be only, what, 10 years old, and I get the fact that they were late to the camp, okay, but I don't feel like the way he handled that situation, for him to say what he said to them, to those children, I don't know how many kids there was, but that's just, you know, absolutely wrong. You know, like, why would you tell them that flip-flops are for, you know, faggots? I don't even use that word at all. And that's for you to say that, and amongst kids in general, you know what I'm saying? That's unacceptable. Once again, like,
but how do you mix the problem? How do you mix those two words though? Flip flops, faggots. I don't get it, because
I mean,
if you look at
all basketball players wear flip flops. You know, you don't want to wear tennis shoes all the time. Your feet hurt when you play basketball from, you know, your toes hit the front of your shoes, and your feet might be a little, you know, not necessarily swollen, but a little sore. You want to be as comfortable as possible coming to the gym and leaving the gym. I played basketball in high school also, and we came to the gym in flip-flops or some type of team shoe maybe. Or when I go to the gym now and I go work out, I wear flip-flops before I get there, and I put on my athletic workout shoes once I'm ready to go actually go out and, you know, work out. So I wouldn't consider myself a faggot for wearing, you know, flip-flops. So I don't know where he got that, where he get that notion from, or why he even think that, or why would you even, you know, combine
where
flip flops and faggots together? Like, I don't get it at all, Tony.
Yeah, where's the correlation between the two that you let that blur cross your tongue? Because it had to be something that you was thinking about if you put those two words together. And it's going to be tough for me to say how you take that kind of mindset toward young kids. And these were not even your players. These were kids that were paying money to come to your camp. And I'm quite sure people must understand these camps cost $300 and $400 a kid. And you belittle kids. If you had that much animosity toward flip-flops, you should have made sure that was addressed at the beginning of your camp. Guys, you cannot wear flip-flops to my camp. This is why. That's why, you know, you might step on something that a nail may go through your foot. This is why. But he didn't take that. But now I'm going to tell you, we say, and one thing it can't be, we won't call it racism because he was hitting black and white. But now this next topic, B, makes me think this is a more of a racist topic. More. And these are the comments that were made, people, by a scout that works for Pro Football Weekly. Mr. Norman released what he called his scouting report on quarterbacks. And it always amazed me, and over the last 3 years, if you was a black quarterback and you were rated high, you got that negative stereotype attached to your name. You got a negative stereotype attached to your name. And it blows my mind that you would call, in this day and age, black male quarterbacks some of the things. Now, this is guy, folks, that talked about Cam Newton, say he had a fake smile and things of that nature. How do you decide who has a fake smile? And my thing is, who give you the right to say that you have the expertise to critique athletes? These are some of the things that he said. Not a student of the game. Nonchalant. No urgency. Not committed or focused. Marginal work ethic. Need to be cuddled during practice. Cannot be coached, and lack football savvy. And these are the same kind of comments that he made about Cam Newton when he came out. And it amazed me so many times how black quarterbacks have that negative stereotype attached to them because of what I call it. They don't fit what they call the modern day quarterback, because it was one position that we knew people played, and that was the quarterback position. But why are, and RG3 was considered in those same tangibles. He was one of the top rated quarterbacks coming out. They say he lacked leadership. Work ethic wasn't there. And then his wunderlic tests didn't put these guys out as smart guys. I would like to see who can tell me that I have a fake smile, because if you've never been around me, how could you write in a couple articles that I have a fake smile? What is a fake smile to you?
And that's what I was going to get to, Tony. I'm like, from what I read and what I saw, he's never met Cam Newton in his life.
Exactly.
So how could you say this man was disingenuous? He was disingenuous, and he carried a fake smile and came across as scripted. How could you say those type of things about an individual if you never met this person in your life? Those are attributes that you see from, or you get from a person as you're talking to them personally. You know, those are not attributes you can come across and write in an article or a blog or whatever from your own opinion, from you seeing or from listening to somebody else, because you don't have any rock solid evidence about this type of, you know, this type of thing about this person. You know, so I don't really understand how can he say those type of things about Cam Newton or the things he said about Geno Smith.
Exactly.
It's almost like, and I heard Stephen A. Smith today earlier when I was looking at this story. He said this is an assault on one's character.
Yeah, it is.
And that, like, and these kids, and I don't understand that either. How could you just assault someone's character like this? How could you tear them down like this? These kids are trying to make it to the NFL. You don't know what they have going on back at home, what situations they come from, and all they have is possibly football to go fall back on, which is going to make their family and them lots of money. And you're going to tear them down and talk bad about them. And try to make the rest of the world, the rest of the NFL, think this certain way about this kid. That's like, I don't see the logic in it. First and foremost, now if the kid's not a good football player, or he has lacks certain intangibles, then okay. But
then
the way how harsh he was about it, I don't really see his logic in how harsh he was about it. Like, it's almost like he doesn't like the kid.
Yeah, and see, this type of stuff I don't expect. Pro Football Weekly to print. I expect that in some type of tabloid, because these are, to me, joke comments. These are kind of, like I say, you going at a man's character. And Charles Davis of the NFL Network stated when he went down and visited with Geno Smith, Geno was one of the guys that bug coaches for film. This young man, what they call a film rat, he made sure the young player, the receivers that was there, was in the film room watching film. He was breaking down film more than coaches were breaking down film. And his coach said he was one of the hardest working guys that he's ever coached. And I know that about Geno Smith. And I know he has that passion to win because he played here in South Florida at Miramar High School. And this young
And I was just going to get to that. I'm like, I was going to ask you that. Don't you know a little bit about Geno? He's from Florida.
Of course.
I don't know what part of Florida he's from, but, you know. He's from South Florida.
Yeah, he's from South Florida out of Miami. It's that borderline between Miami and Broward County and Dade County. And this kid wanted to win. I can't find those tangibles in a kid that has that much passion to win, to be successful. And I saw a guy, because I went out and scouted this guy, some years ago when he was at Miramar, and I saw a kid that believed in winning, believed in his teammates, wanted to outwork. This kid stayed on the field outside of his team leaving off the field to make sure that he talks with the coach. And I find this to be an assault on his character. But hey, we only got a little short time left. Let's get into Tony Romo, because I know that's what our audience is waiting to see. Tony Romo.
And I know a lot of people out here thinking, like, how in the hell did Tony Romo, excuse my language, How did Tony Romo get a $108 million contract extension? $55 million guaranteed. $19.1 million a year.
Now, tell me this. And they're saying this is one of the largest signing bonus ever in the history, or second in the history of the NFL. And you give it to a guy that is really, you haven't won a Super Bowl.
He hadn't won but one playoff game, Tony.
Was it the fact that he held them hostage because they couldn't attach the franchise tag to him next year, that they felt we got to sign him to a large deal or we're going to lose him next year? But my thinking is, how many teams would have gave Tony Romo that kind of money? I don't think it would have been that many. Would have said
nobody but the Dallas Cowboys would have gave Tony Romo that much money, Tony. And you know, and we all know that's Jerry's guy. Like,
yeah,
him. You know, Jerry Jones and Tony Romo have a good relationship. It's almost like it's Jerry Jones's, you know, long lost son, almost. You know, because I don't really know a lot of teams. And don't get me wrong, Tony, I don't think Tony Romo's a bad quarterback at all, statistically. But he hasn't won anything. You know, like, how does he get more guaranteed money than Super Bowl MVP Joe Flacco? Joe Flacco got $52 million guaranteed. Tony Romo got $55 million guaranteed. Now, I know it's somewhere in the numbers, the contract numbers. Maybe he got more money, you know, guaranteed because he taking less yearly. But I just don't really see the logic. Drew Brees signed five years, $100 million. But at the same time, Drew Brees has a Super Bowl. Romo has no Super Bowl.
No, he has no Super Bowl and one playoff. As we stated, one playoff win. And you get
now, Tony. I did do my research on this particular topic. And basically, it's just the NFL, and it's the business of the NFL. The market right now for top-tier quarterbacks, and I'm not saying Tony Romo is a top-tier quarterback, but he's definitely a top-10 quarterback statistically. And for a top-10 quarterback in the NFL right now, their contract, for those that are up for new contracts or extensions, is anywhere between $80 million and $120 million, with the max being with Joe Flacco signed this past season, this after the season was over.
That's a lot.
So the market being at $100 million, basically, that's what Tony Romo asked for. I mean, he would have been dumb to ask for anything less if that's what he could get. And on top of that, the Cowboys have nobody to replace Tony Romo.
Yeah, you're nobody. Right. And there with the salary cap, you think that kind of played into this factor also, that you really don't have a lot of money to sign people with?
Right, and that was my next topic. The salary cap issue. They had to sign Tony Romo to an extension because they have no money to go and sign free agents to fill holes or even sign draft picks. This coming up draft was on the 25th of April to sign the draft picks that they choose for the upcoming season. So they had to. They basically were like, Tony Romo basically had the Dallas Cowboys organization by the cojones.
Yeah, he had him hostage.
Yeah, they had to pay him the money that he asked for. Now I'm sure they negotiated, and he might have asked for more because you always start high. But you know, they negotiated and they came to that agreement with a $55 million 6 year.
But that's a great negotiation.
You do through negotiations, but
it's a great negotiation though. I give it to him and his agent. They made a smart move. Hey, Tony, negotiate and come down to $55 million guaranteed money. Well, I want that agent any day of the week because he's going to fight. But Tony Romo was in a unique situation. Now, and we got about 2 minutes left here. Tell me this. What is the vibe in Dallas after this contract was signed?
I mean, you have some people that, you know, that are actually, you know, real students of the game, and they understand why the Cowboys did what they did. But then you have some people that are just Cowboys fans, and they hate Tony Romo.
Correct.
You know,
correct.
They like his name down here for a lot of people is not Tony Romo. It's Tony Ono. You know what I'm saying? So So, you know, you have a lot of people that's like, why did they sign him to so? Why did he get so much money for him to go out and throw interceptions when you need him most?
Correct.
And, but I understand why he was signed to that. So I try to explain it to people. Like, he was signed because they really have nobody else to put under the center. That would give them an opportunity to win like Tony Romo does, you know. But it's about 50-50, you know. You got some people that hate it. And you have some people that, I wouldn't say 50-50. I'd say about 60-40. 60% of people hate it. The other 40 understand why it happened.
Exactly.
But I don't think anybody agrees with it. You know, I don't think anybody agrees with it. But they know why he got signed to so much money in 6 more years. I doubt it if he plays 6 more years. But
people, it is the business. And it is what it is. And we gotta wrap this show up, B. Me and you gonna ride again next week, man. So be ready. Let's do your research. Let's get this thing popping, because the people that listen to the Tony Sands Show wanna know what's going on in the sports world. Folks, stop abusing our children. Stay strong, stay behind them. You teach through your slow vocal tones, and our kids will hear you stronger. Take that, learn from it. Never hit a child to give instructions, because that means they don't understand it, and it takes time to teach what you're trying to get across. We're signing off here on the Tony Sands Show. Me and my main man, Bibbs, for all those that was listening to the Tony Sands Show, stay tuned next week as we bring you the hot topics in the country and in the world of sports. Until then, we see you next Wednesday here on the Tony Sands Show.
Already written, I will rise to the top. Now I give it everything that I got. Yeah, I'm gon' ball, yeah, I'm gon' be prepared for them suckers that be hating on me. Raising in the world that's so cold. Why so much hate? I don't know. Stereotyped and they can't see how it is growing up as a young G.